Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Monday's Panic Podcast. We're walking in rhythm right up to Titus in the New Testament. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. We're going to get started in just a minute. We are looking at salvation in the present tense as we look at our great salvation. That's our Monday topic. Throughout the winter, late winter, early spring, aspects of our great salvation. Today we're going to look at salvation in the present tense, and we'll get started in just a second. Good to have you with us on Monday's Panic Podcast. Oh yeah, it's Monday. Feels like summer. How is it where you are? We had just an awesome weekend. Felt like summer all weekend. As a matter of fact, it felt like summer all week last week. We've got some cold weather blowing in later on this week, though. But it's a beautiful day today. Hope it's beautiful where you are. And as I said, we're studying our great salvation Mondays. Today I want to look at just a fascinating group of verses here in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. So let's just hit the ground running, shall we, this Monday morning? And I'm already running a little bit late, had lots to do. Friday, I'll tell you what, Friday, you know, I did not lose my mind on Friday. I assure you I did not lose my mind. I didn't have a stroke or anything like that. I was appalled when Saturday I was skimming through Friday's podcast. I usually check them before I upload them, but I didn't get a chance on Friday because I was pretty busy. I was skimming through it, and it turns out that I repeated myself for about 2 minutes. And of course, by then it was too late to take it down because, you know, the first 24 hours of anything we upload, that's when it gets the most hits. But I'll tell you what happened. I started the podcast and got about 2 minutes into it on Friday, and there was a banging on the door, and I just kept going, and they kept going too, bang, bang, bang. So I thought, better see who it is. So I hit the pause button, thinking I'd be back in a couple of minutes. Well, 2 hours later, I get back to the podcast, completely forgot where I'd left off. So instead of doing the smart thing and just starting all over again, I'd made the rookie error of assuming I remembered where I stopped, and I started, and I actually, you know, repeated probably a couple minutes worth of stuff at the beginning of the podcast. So I apologize for that. That was, as I say, a rookie error. It will never happen again. Learn my lesson. And you just move on, right? Well, we're looking at Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. So let's get started. Let's read these verses as we look at salvation in this present day. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Paul, you know, he loved his salvation. He greatly rejoiced over the free and gracious salvation of God that has appeared to the benefit of all people, of all countries, colors, conditions. He was so filled with gratitude that he had this powerful inner compulsion to proclaim his faith to the ends of the earth. I mean, honestly, he never stopped. From the moment almost from the exact moment he got saved, he just could not stop talking about Jesus Christ and what his Savior had done for him, and what this Savior wants to do for all people. I mean, he just couldn't shut him up. He describes both the negative and the positive nature of this great, great salvation in the words that follow our text. He describes that the salvation has appeared. Now, here's how one version translates it. This salvation has appeared, quote, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. That's verse 12. Now, the New International Version, which I read, and I'll read verse 12 again from it, and I think it's entirely accurate. This salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Verses 12 through 15 set forth some of the things that this great salvation teaches us. And these verses contain God's plan for our great salvation from the power and the practice of sin in this present day. Now, this is very interesting to me because you notice how this section starts off. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Now, we're going to talk about that word grace in a second. But you notice that God's gift of grace is absolutely, or a gift of salvation is an act of grace. It's Romans 3:24. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. This gift of salvation is freely offered to us. Can't earn it, can't work for it. There's no possible way that you and I could have ever merited the salvation that we possess. But God, in his grace, offered it to us and to all people. But God does not force you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. He doesn't make you live self-controlled and upright and godly lives. Okay, these are things you must do. So you can't earn salvation. You can't do anything to get salvation. But when you sign up for it, that's when the work starts. Now, God doesn't leave you on your own to figure it out, right? Grace of God appears, and God basically teaches you how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. God's grace teaches you to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So that word grace, then, it's the Greek word, meaning of this word, refers to a favor conferred freely by a friend to a friend, right? Now, elsewhere in the New Testament, we read of God's grace, and it has an entirely different meaning elsewhere in the New Testament. In Christ, God has freely conferred his favor, his mercy, his kindness upon his enemies who have rebelled against him and fallen short of glory while we were yet sinners. And God demonstrated his love for us. This type of grace is a phenomenal grace. It was demonstrated by a father who offered forgiveness to a man who had run over his son while under the influence of alcohol. The father made the urgent request that the man change his life, get cleaned up, give his heart to Jesus Christ. That's an example of the grace of salvation. Now, this grace of salvation, this grace that God offers to us, okay, appeared and offers that salvation to all people. I wish, you know, I love Calvinists. I have no war against the Calvinists, but I wish that they would actually read the Word of God instead of just repeating what they hear other Calvinists say. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. All people have a chance at it, okay? God's gracious salvation is available for all men without respect of where they live, who they are, what kind of person they are, and so on. It's available for old timers like me and kids, men and women. It's available for young men and women. It's available for slaves and free men, all at the same time. I mean, this gift of salvation is a remarkable thing that is just available for all of us. And this great salvation came out of the indiscriminate and unlimited love and grace of a God that the ancient world knew nothing about. Aren't you glad that you were born when you were born? Aren't you glad that you were born at a time when this great salvation is so freely available? I mean, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And this great salvation has appeared for the salvation of sinners of every name and nation and condition. It's not just for Americans. It's not just for Canadians and the Brits. It's not just for America and the Commonwealth nations. This gift of salvation is available to all people all over the world. It's an amazing thing. God's great salvation not only saves us from a guaranteed future in hell, but God's great salvation seeks to also train us. And that's what these verses that talk about here, verses 12, 13, and 14. Because as I said, God didn't just save us and then expect us to figure things out on our own. This salvation trains us, as I said, that older translation says, to renounce irreligion and worldly passions. Because, you know, when we get saved, we become disciples of Christ. And a disciple is a learner in need of training and education. I mean, folks, when you get saved, you don't automatically know everything you need to know. I mean, don't you wish that were the case, though? Don't you wish that when you got saved, God, like, unscrewed at the top of your head and poured in all the knowledge that you need to live for Him? Ugh, that would make everything so much easier. But that's not the way it works, all right? We are in desperate need of training and education. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, salvation does that for us, right? A disciple is born as a baby into the family of God and is in need of growth and instruction and education. Discipleship is a process of becoming all that God desires us to become. And discipleship requires self-discipline as we seek to develop into the persons that God wants us to be. Take a look at a couple of verses here in, where is it now? Philippians. Let's see, where did I read this just yesterday. Philippians chapter 3. Look at Philippians 3. Let me get to it here. Verse 13. Yeah, this is Paul writing this. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to win the goal, or to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what is Paul referring to there? I guess I probably should have started at verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained all this. In other words, his salvation is not complete, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, I mean, if the great apostle Paul had not reached full maturity in his faith, you think you have? No way. Absolutely not. I haven't. So our salvation, and I would say that it's done through the Holy Spirit who is within us, obviously, teaches us what we need to know to live good and godly lives for the Lord. This great salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Now, there's some negatives, great negatives, in this life of discipleship. Like, most of us would say no to the offer of a rattlesnake for a pet. Well, admittedly, most of us would say no to the offer of exposure to a contagious disease. Most of us would say no to the offer of a drink of poison. That's just common sense, right? So what are we to say no to? Well, we are to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Now, what exactly is ungodliness? Well, we've got to go back to that old translation that I referenced earlier, the irreligious life. The irreligious life is a life without God, okay, which expresses itself in living for the appetites of the flesh and for the values that are significant only in this world. That's what an irreligious life is in the old-timey translation. Basically, just living your life without regard for God, without regard for His will, just doing whatever you want, whenever you want, whatever feels good goes. But we're to repudiate those ways and attitudes, which are contrary to the will of God, but were once considered normal and proper. Titus 3:3, just take a look at that. Just go up the page. It says, Titus 3:3, I guess I need to get to the next chapter. Hang on. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's the way we were. But we're saved now, so we can't be that way anymore. We've got to be markedly different. And listen, that different lifestyle, look, as much as we wish otherwise, it doesn't happen right away. Notice it says in verse 12, it teaches us. It's a progress. It's a progressive thing. All right? It takes place over a period of time. Nobody is 100% the way they should be the day after they get saved. We just aren't. We're to grow in our faith, but that's a process. So we need to be patient with others, and we need to be patient with ourselves. There's some great positives and affirmations in the lives of disciples, in the lives of those who are really, really learning how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So our great salvation teaches us, at the same time as saying no, to say yes to certain great and good things. In relationship to ourselves, we're to live soberly. That is, we're to live self-controlled lives under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Frank Sinatra had a song that he always used to sing, "I Did It My Way." I mean, if that's the theme of your life, "I did it my way," you're a complete loser and you're on your way to hell. Okay? The true follower of Jesus Christ would rather sing, "I did it His way. I did it God's way." In relationship to others, we're to be upright and just and fair, helpful, dependable, all those things. We're to be people of genuine integrity, motivated by a caring concern for the welfare of others in all of our personal relationships. And in relationship to God, we're to be devout and open and responsive and responsible to Him. So on the one hand, the salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, but at the same time to say yes to living self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And saying yes to living that kind of life affects our relationship with ourselves and with others and with God Himself. So in this present time, we are to live our lives this way, but also in view of the blessed hope of the return of our precious Lord. So you got like two things going on here in this group of verses. We're to say no to the wrong way of life. We're to say yes to God's way of living, and the Holy Spirit will help us with those things. But we're to live properly as we wait for the blessed hope, you know, the second coming of Christ. Now, if you knew that Jesus Christ could return in the next 10 minutes, would you be thinking the thoughts that you're thinking right now? Would you be planning on doing that thing that you probably shouldn't do in an hour from now? See, that's why it's always good to live with the second coming kind of just over the horizon. Knowing that our Lord can come back at any time should be a positive, powerful motivator to live right and proper lives for the Lord. I mean, you don't want to catch him. You don't want him to catch you in a sin. You don't want to be doing something you shouldn't be doing when he returns. How embarrassing would that be, right? So we're to live our lives in this present world, always in view of the blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us. He died to redeem us from all iniquity. And he arose to purify for himself you and me, a special people who are eager to do what is good, as Paul wrote to Titus. Okay? So our great salvation is not limited to something which is yet to happen in the future. God wants our salvation to be in process at the present time, all the time. That's why I say that, you know, the New Testament teaches very plainly that you were saved. You are being saved. That's what we're talking about today. And you will be saved in the future. That doesn't mean that you're not saved now, but it means that in the future, there's more to come regarding your salvation. You don't have it all yet, all right? You need to be patient as you live through your allotted time on earth. And as you're being patient, as you're living your limited years on earth to get to the good stuff at the end, you've got a job to do. I hate to tell you. You must let the Holy Spirit teach you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. You must let the Holy Spirit teach you to say yes to living self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's your part of the bargain. That's your part of salvation. But as I say, God has not left you to figure it out on your own. He's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you, because you don't have all the knowledge that you need right now. You don't have it. I bet you those of you that have been saved for a number of years, it's a little bit easier for you now. You're able to discern right from wrong with a little more skill and accuracy. You know, but for those of you who have not been saved a long time, you know, you really need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit who is within you, convicting you, leading you, guiding you. He's the great teacher. He's teaching you to become like Jesus. Are you a willing pupil? Are you willing to, get wrapped over the knuckles with a ruler every now and again? Short-term pain for long-term gain. All right, that's it for today. It's 25 minutes past the hour. Getting a bit of a break, getting finished early today. Now, come on back on Wednesday, because on Wednesday, we are beginning our in-depth study of Ecclesiastes. That's coming up on Wednesday's Panic Podcast. Looking forward to that. All right. Well, let's close in prayer as we begin our day today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your precious gift of salvation. We thank you that you are watching out for us, that you are hearing us when we pray, that you are answering our prayers and giving us what we need to live lives that please you. We thank you, Lord, that you are patient with us, that you are more than willing to work with us to become the kind of people we are supposed to become. It's not easy. And we frequently stumble and fall. Father, help us always to get back up again, to serve you with joy and optimism, knowing that there are far better days ahead. Lord, keep us all safe and sound till we can meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, I'm so thankful and grateful that you tuned in today. Come on back on Wednesday for more of the Panic Podcast. In the meantime, have a great Monday and Tuesday. See you soon.